Dear citizens, Padmini Arhant, representative, divine mission, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. The segment continues with questions to hegemony. In the previous segment, I talked about hegemony policy. Hegemony policy to wage wars, and now sponsoring terrorism is the principal goal for strategic and economic interests. Syria, the conflict began in 2011, 4 years now, with several thousands having lost their lives and millions have been made refugees, not to mention the destruction that has been inflicted on that nation runs into billions of dollars. Also, the desecration of cultural heritage, almost targeting the civilization entirely, is what has been carried out in Syria. So the attempt is not just to make Syria fall, but also to wipe out civilizations in these parts of the world. Similarly, in Iraq, subsequent to Iraq invasion in 2003, Iraq and the people in Iraq are forced to accept warfare as their part of life. Now, with terrorism infiltrated into Iraq through hegemony sponsorship, hegemony, United States, Britain, France, Israel, and others with their ally in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, Jordan, UAE, and so on. These participants continue to fund and arm terrorists in Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Libya, as I mentioned, is a terror haven. Terrorism is considered the viable option for hegemony. Via terrorism, there is this continuous flow of weapons reaching terror networks, organized and channeled by hegemony and allies in the Middle East. And likewise, terrorism is spread across North Africa, and terrorism in Pakistan, in the Indian subcontinent. All of that is extremely lucrative for arms industry, the defense industry, with the flow of weapons in all directions. You can imagine, is only making the arms supply, the suppliers, weapon suppliers and dealers are literally making a killing from killing innocent people worldwide. That is why terrorism is increasingly becoming the favorable strategy to hegemony. There is also the pretext to wage war against the terrorists created, funded, trained by hegemony. They are the ones who have created these terror networks, and then they are claiming to combat terrorism by going to war against these terrorists in Iraq and Syria. Can you imagine how this is all being played out to once again trick and hoodwink world population, the taxpayers in the United States in particular? Need to wake up, for their hard-earned funds, their hard-earned taxes that are being paid to the government are being squandered in sponsoring terrorism to kill innocent people in Syria, Iraq, Libya, throughout Africa, in Mexico, in North America, and you have, as I said, Pakistan. So weapon supply is the constant stream that do not seem to have any discrimination policy. If you know what I mean, weapons are reaching the dictatorial regimes, the drug cartels in Mexico, then the terror networks scattered worldwide. So this is how the defense industry is thriving, rain or shine. I also talked about how the royalty in Europe, not only they are being provided for by the taxpayers of those nations, but also when you come to think of it, the world population are also supporting the royalty in Europe. Not just the British monarchy, but we're talking about the royal families in Scandinavia and throughout Europe, living in castles and mansions and palaces. Just to maintain those palaces itself is costing a fortune. And then, in return for what? The royalties, they do not work. Instead, the money that is being given to them, the taxpayers' tax revenue, is allocated to maintain these royalty and royal families. And what are they doing? They are investing in defense stocks, in nuclear industry, in anything that is destructive for mankind. That is why they want to continue to prosper through their investments. And there is a great deal of promotion. Remember, do not forget, these royal families are not just remaining in the shadow. They are active participants and involved in drafting foreign policy as members of the Trilateral Commission and Council on Foreign Relations that are engaged in the foreign policy that is being that is often promoted as United States foreign policy. The people in the United States, as I know, are not even aware of the kind of policy that is being promoted in their name, for they are not the ones who are responsible for making this policy. This foreign policy is not United States citizens designed or drafted policy. This foreign policy is essentially the work of those who are not even remotely related to the problems that are being experienced by the United States citizens, or for that matter the 99% of the world population. The 1% are the ones who are behind. Even among them, those who are considered the most privileged, and there is this hierarchy within this conglomerate, and some royalties, members of royal families in Europe, the military industrial complex, mega corporations, and other influential entities. They are they make sure that they are the beneficiaries, but then I would also include the institutions, the so-called think tanks, some of them in Washington DC, and the policy in coming from EU in Brussels. So these are all the people behind the policy making, and they are the ones who are pushing forward this detrimental policies for their sole interest. It has nothing to do with humanity or to benefit mankind or to improve the lives of billions of people on this planet. On the contrary, if one would just pay attention to what is really happening with all this warfare, as I just explained, the reason behind this relentless warfare is to benefit the investors in the defense industry, being part of the military industrial complex, and then you have royal members of the royal family with their investments tied to defense stocks in the nuclear industry and so on. So the proliferation of nuclear arsenal is also very much in their interest. And then you have this hegemonic goals for strategic and economic interest to establish and prolong imperialism, and to establish specific agenda like Greater Israel in the Middle East, and then dominance in Central Asia, and you have in the Baltics and in Eastern Europe. So this is all about militarization of African continent and the militarization and military build up in the Asia Pacific, pivot to Asia. That is another pursuit, that is hegemonic pursuit, that is very much part of hegemony ambition. So when you come to think of it, this is all about global dominance at the expense of 99% population worldwide. In the Middle East, Syrian conflict was completely unnecessary, as any warfare would be, for there are means to resolve issues, settle disputes within and between nations. But that is not considered a viable option. Instead, aggression, intrusion, and that evolves into invasion and occupation is the trend, and that has been the legacy that continues until today, and they insist on continuing this beyond, I am sure, this century and further. The other issue in the Middle East is Palestinian issue. Israeli and Palestinian peace process is not really a peace process. What is really happening is Israeli authorities' aggression, having no limit, no boundary. This constant shelling, Israeli authorities' decision to maintain this constant shelling of Gaza, that beleaguered coastal strip Gaza, as such, is a densely populated area, and with the Israeli authorities constant air raids and bombings and air strikes, and of course the other areas of the occupied Palestinian territory is under siege, for there are Israeli troops that has been deployed since Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory going back to 1948, and there has been no consideration, there is no desire to end violence against the oppressed population in Palestine, Israeli aggression and oppression of Palestine is the most contentious issue in the Middle East, besides the conflict in Syria, Iraq, Libya, and promoting this warfare against the people in Yemen. There is no respite for these people from violence, terrorism, and bombings. Failing that, the population in that part of the world are forced to deal with political instability, which means any attempts on the people's part to change their political system to a democracy is immediately quelled with violence, and that support to those who are behind the suppression of democracy, that support is being extended by hegemony. United States, France, Britain, Israel, and so on, along with their key allies in the region, Saudi Arabia, the major opponent to democracy. You can understand why Saudi Arabia is vehemently opposed to democracy or stability in any nation in the Middle East, for they find that a major threat to the kingdom, the Saudi kingdom, that is represented by the family of 100 members, and even that is not without family feud, and there is a lot of infighting and instability amongst them. But then Saudi Arabia, along with Israel and other kingdoms and fiefdoms like Qatar, then you have Turkey, Jordan, and all these members representing these nations have no interest in seeing the people of the Middle East experience democracy. That is why the warfare in Yemen that is going on until now, killing thousands of innocent people once again. You see, there is no end in sight to that warfare, simply because with United States supplying F-16 jets to Saudi Arabia, that is launching continuous airstrikes against the civilians of that nation, Yemen. So killing, sponsoring terrorism, and causing political instability is the routine. When you really come to think of it, the strategy is to deny the people any freedom. So the idea is, when you keep the people oppressed with no freedom or political rights, then those who are in the position of authority as the proxies to a hegemony, they can implement hegemony policy in those nations. And even if that means that the people are oppressed and democracy is denied to them, and hegemony is in a position to accomplish their strategic goals through their proxies in the region. And this is happening even in the so-called democracies elsewhere. And I also talked about the how feudalism has been revived in my earlier segment, and I will touch base on that as well. But in the meantime, what I would really like to say is that unless and until Israeli aggression and occupation of Palestine is brought to an end, not just the Middle East, the world would continue to experience instability, unrest, and of course, United States taxpayers will have to perennially, that is, continuously fund Israeli occupation of Palestine. For this is what is happening. United States tax dollars that is being contributed to Israeli authorities as the monetary aid, in addition to military aid that is being provided to Israel by United States, is being used by Israel against Palestinians in Palestine to prolong Israeli occupation of the territory Palestine. United States tax dollars, while denying United States citizens and American families even food stamps in the dire economic situation, United States tax dollars is allocated and promptly delivered to Israeli authorities for their hegemonic goal, and that is to continue with the occupation of Palestinian territory, and then they are also involved in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen, so on. Israeli-Palestinian crisis is the result of the British Empire and British Empire basically using the Middle East for their execution of plan, that is the British monarchy, interestingly, having had very strong ties and relationship with the Nazis in Germany during World War II, before and during World War II, and then subsequently creating the State of Israel in Palestine, is what has led to this horrendous and humongous problem called the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. But even now, it is never too late to resolve this problem. And the only way to resolve this crisis is to end occupation, to permanently halt this violence against the innocent people in the occupied territory of Palestine, and cease these killings, indiscriminate killings, and that is also being justified in the name of so-called security, when the State of Israel is a nuclear state. Ending occupation, Israeli occupation of Palestine, could no longer be there could be no procrastination. It could no longer be delayed. any further deliberation or means to evade this ending of occupation is only going to lead to an undesirable outcome for the Israeli authorities and those who are behind this unnecessary and unwarranted oppression and persecution of Palestinians in the Middle East. This is also causing more problems for other regions now. The Palestinian crisis has only extended to other parts of the Middle East, but also now Europe is experiencing the aftermath of this continuous occupation of Palestine, with Palestinians being forced out of Palestine by Israeli forces and the settlers brought in by Israeli authorities, and they are being provided incentives. These settlers in West Bank, the occupied territory of Palestine, in West Bank, East Jerusalem, they are being brought into this territory by Israeli authorities with incentives. They are being provided with monetary and other facilities, and they are being encouraged to occupy West Bank, East Jerusalem, that belongs to the people of Palestine. And these settlers also demonstrating aggression, and there has been the killings continues on hourly basis, for there is not a day that goes by when a Palestinian child or youth not being killed by Israeli forces and the settlers in that occupied territory. No matter how much this is all camouflaged through hegemony-controlled media and press, including the entertainment industry, this cannot possibly be any more hidden from public knowledge, world attention. The world is already aware of the Palestinian plight. For some reason or another, there appears to be this, helplessness, hopelessness, thinking that there could nothing be done to bring these atrocities to an end. Turning a blind eye is not the answer, for this only emboldens the aggressors, thinking that there is nothing to stop them, and they continue to violate innocent people's lives and their rights, and more victims are falling prey to this aggression. And this is all happening due to the unequivocal support, unflinching assistance that is being provided by United States and allies like Britain and so on. And any positive measure that any other country is suggesting, or any recommendations that are being made to bring this conflict to an end, that is the Israeli-Palestinian crisis to an end, is immediately stifled through United Nations Security Council, where United States, Britain and others as Israeli allies have the veto power. Even if among their allies, if others are somehow, they think that this has gone on for too long and they want to do something positive, then there is United States immediately shoots down such measure as the UNSC, United Nations Security Council, major power with veto power. This is why I have been saying United Nations Security Council actions are highly questionable. United Nations Security Council in particular, the P5 plus 1, the exclusive club, enjoying this privileged status while maintaining the unipolar system, and at the same time claiming that they are against unipolar emergence with reference to this divine mission, is indeed the irony. The divine mission, unlike them, cares for humanity at large and not promoting violence or warfare and destruction and destabilization of nations. That is what they are doing as members of this P5 plus 1 exclusive club, imposing economic sanctions, military invasion and occupation of nations. This is what is happening with this P5 plus 1 misusing their veto power. And yet they claim to be the vigilantes, the guardian angels of this planet. Really? Guardian angels would be killing scores of people, removing democratically elected governments from power, denying innocent people their rights to exist, and will be sponsoring terrorism as the means to extend their empire. So we are in the age where hegemony interpretation of affairs is nothing but subversion of truth. Distortion of facts and plain deception. That is why I say there is so much this human intelligence is being not only underestimated, but somehow there is this misconception that human beings have lost the thinking ability in worldwide. Otherwise, hegemony would not continue to prolong status quo. They want this to be the permanent style of governance. Warfare worldwide, innocent people dying by the hour, profiteering from violence, terrorism, and this fear that is being spread. That is another strategy, through false flag events. You know, this is why I want to ask hegemony, what is this with them? You know, you're into creating fake personalities, fake figureheads, where you project them as the messiahs and even, you know, incarnate and so on. And then so you have fake figureheads and fake personalities. Your warfare is premised on falsehood and false pretext, and your hallmark is false flag events, and your election is won through fraudulent means, and the government that represents you is also fictitious, not for real, meaning not representative of the people, for they represent you. So this is how I summarize: fake personalities, fake figureheads that you present to the world, representing you, hegemony, as your agent, your proxy, even I would say puppets, for that is what it is, puppet governments. And then you have false reasons to invade, occupy, to destabilize nations like Ukraine, Thailand, and so on. And then you have fraudulent means, and that is election, fraudulent elections, where the highest bidder gets the best value for money from the respective candidacies in the so-called democracies. And in certain democracies, it's even worse, where openly voters are bribed with money, cash for votes, openly distributed to voters, the electorate, especially going to the impoverished regions of the country, after starving them. While these people are in power, these political parties are in power in those countries, the so-called democracy, they have no interest and in paying attention to the poorest of the poor, the marginalized, and even the lower income category, or anyone who is whose in economic status is not so comfortable, and they are basically struggling to make ends meet. What are these political parties doing? When they are in power, they neglect them. They have no interest in those people. And there is a reason behind that. When they are neglected and when they are starving, and then come election time, the political parties approach them, and then they are distributing these people, the starved population, with money. And what does a starved villager or anybody who is, you know, has been jobless for so long, or anyone who is deprived of any decent life, what would they do? They just grab the money from these political parties, and then they do what these political parties want them to do, and that is to vote for them. So this is why the political party's strategy is to starve these population, neglect them, and abandon them while they are in term in office. And then come election time, they go to these people and tell them, okay, you know what, here is the cash, and vote for us. And basically, this has all become vote bank politics. So this is openly distributing cash for votes to the people. And of course, the cash for votes also takes place within parliament, by the way. They distribute cash to lure the members of other political factions to vote for any legislation, of course, favoring hegemony or corporations, not the people. So that also needs to be remembered. Nothing related to the population, but everything to do with their campaign donors and hegemony. Yes, all these dealings take place without any partisanship. So there is this, you know, general consensus, and somehow they all just, you know, get along so well because they know that it is all in their best interest. So what, you know, if that constitutes treasonous act, but, you know, that has become the norm, committing treason and betraying electorate trust is what politics is all about under hegemony control. So this is what I mean, you know. So when we talk about politics that is directed and maintained by hegemony through proxies, elections has become the predominant means or ways for hegemony to convince the electorate that the electorate are the ones who are who have authorized this this kind of system, the political system that is essentially run by hegemony, the conglomerate, to serve their interests, exclusively their interest. And then they turn around and say, hey people, what are you complaining about? You are the one who went to the polls and elected this government. See, look, we have the political capital, we have the electoral mandate, so stop complaining now. You have given us the go-ahead signal. So here we are the government, and whether or not we do anything for you, that is not important. The fact of the matter is that you have chosen us as your government, your representatives. Even if we do not represent you, that is hardly a matter of concern. But then just, you know, do not complain and don't you dare go to the streets to protest, or even with the peaceful assembly or whatnot in the United States or France. These are all, mind you, supposedly democracy, Western democracy, that is being widely promoted in the Middle East and so on. Those who waged war against Iraq in 2003, they said they were basically introducing Western democracy to the people in Iraq, so that democracy would just become pervasive, like, you know, the fragrance of the scent of a flower permeating in the environment. They thought that that is how democracy would just simply permeate in the Middle East. And how did they try to introduce the democracy to the people in Iraq? With constant bombing and shelling, dropping cluster bombs, bombs with depleted uranium, and so on. And they claimed that this was the best way, or this is their style of introducing democracy to the people in the Middle East. So let me recap what I just said. Middle East, the agenda, hegemony agenda, is Middle East volatility. As long as the Middle East remains volatile, that is considered lucrative for defense industry, and then there is also the presence in terms of the military bases, United States military base in Bahrain. They have the naval 5th fleet or 7th fleet in 5th fleet in Bahrain. And you have Saudi Arabia, where the United States has the military base in that kingdom. More, I guess the kingdom wants the military base for their own protection, just in case there is this, you know, tsunami that rises against them, that is the people tsunami, so they can quell popular dissent if that were to happen. And Saudi Arabia has not hesitated, in fact has been fairly active in that respect, not only in their own kingdom Saudi Arabia, but also in neighboring Bahrain, the state that is so oppressive, that has been extremely violent towards the peaceful protesters who are seeking freedom and political rights, given the brutality of the Al Khalifa regime that has exerted so much authority, the violence that has been inflicted upon the people in Bahrain is in the civilized world would be considered crimes against humanity, and the Al Khalifa regime would have been convicted and brought to justice. But we are not really living in a civilized world, are we? If we were to live in a civilized world, every one of those members who are behind atrocities and violence, and who have committed, knowingly committed crimes and have been responsible for the killing of innocent people would be brought to justice. But instead, these members are granted political impunity, and they are being protected despite evidences against them, evidences clearly showing their direct involvement and authorization of violence against innocent people. And this is what one has to deal with when we think about today's world. There is so much chaos and calamity, but this is all the doing of the members or all of them put together and represented as hegemony and their proxies. So they do not want any peaceful resolutions to any conflicts. They are not interested in diplomacy. They do not want democracy. Even if there is democracy, is only authoritarianism in disguise as democracy. And you also have the engagement is all for vested interest, not to benefit the people or the nations that they are venturing into in their in pursuit of their hegemonic aspirations worldwide. So what I would really like to emphasize on is that unless and until this Israeli-Palestinian crisis is brought to an end without any more political interference, in the sense the United States veto power vetoing any decisions that are made in at the United Nations Security Council, and then following such actions, Israel extending the settlement activity along with the aggression against Palestinians as well. So unless and until this is brought to a final conclusion, and this will have to happen, this cannot possibly be evaded any longer. I cannot say this any more than what I have earlier. I have no uncertain terms, as explicitly as possible, I have stated that Israeli authorities' aggression must end, or this is only going to come back to haunt those who are thinking that there will be no consequence or repercussions to their aggression and this never-ending oppression of the people in Palestine. As much as it might sound un welcoming to the authorities or the factions who are behind this illegal settlement activity in West Bank, and even those who are those who have this dream and expectation about the establishment of Greater Israel and so on. And I would say that there is no harm in dreaming, but even when you're dreaming, one has to be a little bit more realistic for that dream to turn into a reality. And in this instance, I can tell them without any reservations that Israel's best interest lies in ending occupation of Palestine. And Israel's security and future lies in the agreement to the creation of Palestine, that is the Palestinian statehood. So Israel's present and future is directly tied with Palestinian statehood. The more there is resistance and there is the opposition to this practical, pragmatic solution, allowing the creation, that is establishment of the Palestinian statehood, I can say that this is only going to be extremely regretful for those who are trying to promote Israeli cause, but perhaps they do not realize they are not really being the benefactors or doing anything good for Israel or the citizens in Israel. On the contrary, they are only making it worse for them. And if the outcome for Israel is going to be anything other than what they think it should be, then Israeli authorities and the factions that are responsible for prolonging this crisis are the ones to be blamed, for they are the ones who are the obstacle in allowing Israel to gain or even experience peaceful existence in the near future. So I would say that Palestinian statehood is the number one priority. It could no longer be deterred or deferred. If Israel wants peaceful existence and with guaranteed security and so on. I would like to end this segment right now. We'll be back with more on issues concerning other parts of the world. I appreciate your attention, and again, thank you all for listening to this segment.